like that black choir that backs her up in that song right there. Amen, brothers and sisters, what I'm saying. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And let me tell you something right now. I'm looking with great anticipation to the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ to get us out of this mess. He's the only hope for Israel, by the way. And this ain't going to get awfully bad before it's all said and done. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of 1 Kings in chapter number 20. In 1 Kings in chapter number 20. Now, if you find the place, it's there. Look in verse number 40. It'll be our text verse that we'll be reading here tonight in the book of 1 Kings and chapter number 20 and in verse number 40. All right? In verse 48, he says, "And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself has decided it." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. And we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. And Lord, we're looking great anticipation to thy soon coming again. And we say with the men and women, the prophets and apostles and men of God of old, even so come, Lord Jesus. And Lord, may you find us busily occupied about your business, that we be not ashamed at thy appearing. Save the lost, we pray thee. Lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. Here's a sermon that I preached, some 14 years ago. It's entitled, "What Will Decide for Yourself?" What will you decide for yourself? Now here's Ahab, you know, he's an idolatrous man, that he's been a worshiper of Baal. He's got a wife that's, I guarantee you, a ringtail tutor. She makes Nancy Pelosi look good. Well, maybe she don't. Nancy's pretty rough. But let me say to you, there's old Jezebel. She's a killer. She's an idolatrous woman. She's godless, wicked. She's a preacher fighter, a preacher killer, preacher hater. Make no mistake about that. That's the kind of woman Jezebel was. I want to say to you that America, I'm sad to say, and I love America. America has become a breeding ground for the Muslim world. America has become a safe haven for the Muslim world. You know what? I've been preaching on it ever since I heard it back whenever Fox News, you know, came on. And all these news people. Now, we're not talking about good Muslims. We're talking about the bad Muslims. Well, let me tell you the difference between a good Muslim and a bad Muslim. They both of them hate God, the Bible, and every American that's on the face of this earth and would take and slit your throat for pennies and just to get rid of you and to annihilate you. Make no mistake about it. America has become a safe breeding ground for that. Now, you know why, don't you? It's because everybody that was bragging on good Muslim, bad Muslim, they don't know God. If you don't know God, you don't know what good and bad is. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ or know what the truth of God is, you're not going to know what's right. You're not going to rightly divide the word of truth. And let me say to you that when you look into this Bible, you recognize that all that crowd, Fox News, most of them's Roman Catholic. If you're so stupid you follow the Pope dressed up in a clown suit, you're not going to know nothing about what's right and wrong in the sight of God. You're looking at somebody that's tied up with the whore of Revelation, chapter number 17, 18, 19, when you read those passages. And make no mistake about it that she is the mother of harlots. And no wonder that they want to go ahead and pat people on the back. And all this Allah bunch and Allah worshipers and this and that and so forth and on. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, is that troubled times was upon the people of Israel. And let me tell you, there's always going to be some troubled times. There's always going to be some threats from the outside, the enemy world. Let me say to you, the troubled times does not change God one iota. I'm glad to be able to know that I'm not looking for the government. I'm not looking for glad times ahead. I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking for God incarnate in human flesh to be able to come again. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, God calls men, even in corrupt and troublesome time, and by the name of Elijah to take the place of Elijah. And let me tell you, is that God can still convert people. He still can comfort his people. And let me tell you that you'll find that though life is full of battles, it's also full of blessings. And I got to tell you right now, is that nobody here wants to die or see one of your loved ones die. And yet we preach all of our lives knowing the wages of sin is death. the sentence of death is upon this country and upon this land that we live in. I know myself, you know, and I realize, though, that I'm not young and robust and full of vim and vigor like you are in vitality, but I'm glad to be able to know what I've got. And I promise you right now, God's been good to me, and I'd like to be able to shout it out from the to the mountaintop, from the guttermost to the uttermost. I'd like to be to leave here shouting when it comes my time to be able to go. And I can tell you right now, I don't want to live long enough to be an old preacher to where that people are just having to feel sorry for me. I want to be able to leave here shouting, buddy, when it comes my time to go. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, here's what I notice, is that you'll find out the enemy is here in this chapter. And we didn't take time to read it. We'll look at it as we're going along. But over here in the same chapter, number 20, in verse number 1, there's a man by the name of Ben-Hadad is the way that he's pronounced. And let me tell you, old Ben-Hadad, here's a man that's got 32 kings that have yoked up with him, according to verse number 1. Now, Ben-Hadad is the king of Syria. And as a result of that, you know, he's anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-everything good, right, moral, and decent. And here's what he's done. He's got 32 kings to be able to go along and to help him with. And you can read that in verse number 1. He's made an alliance with these other 32 kings. And let me tell you, he's gotten to where that he thinks somehow or another that he can take the place of the voice of God. For the Lord hath said, he's now, is going to be hinted at as said. And let me tell you right now is, somebody's listening that he's not going to want to listen to him. And I'm talking about he that's altogether lovely and he that's altogether powerful and he that sits in heaven laughs at this guy because he thinks he's a hot shot and he's really not. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, he's an enemy. He's warring against the people of God, and as a result of that, here's what he does. He's after verse number 3. He's after your finances, by the way, your silver and your gold. Now, that's the least important thing you've got in this world we're living in. By the way, I'm not talking about it, if you've got any money. God bless you. I'm glad for you. Right now, I'm trying to help a young man. How old are you? How old are you? 7. I'm trying to help a young man that's 7 years old raise $4,000 to kill a trophy bug. I don't think we're going to make it this year, but hey, listen, it's a good request. It's a good request. I said all that to say this. That's the least important thing that we have, as it, very vital and necessary as it is. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out that he wants not only your finances, but Ben-Hadad, here's what he wants. He wants your family, and that's the most important thing you've got in this world that we're living in. I want to tell you something, fellas. And tell some of you ladies, yeah, you ought to go home tonight, and even if he has to brush his teeth a little bit, clean his mouth up a little bit, and every now and again get a little sugar. Amen. And listen, you ought to go home and hug up your kids real close. You ought to go home because, let me tell you, yesterday's gone forever, tomorrow may not ever come. I walked out on the porch this evening, and I was looking there, and I can remember whenever I first built it, and it's underneath now the new building, the new part, and all of that. But I thought, you know, I sat here many a time wishing this and wishing that and wishing life away. Every now and again, you ought to just stop and thank God for how good he's been, what he's done, what he's doing, what he's going to do. I watch some of these girls and boys that get up here and go to singing. I've got pictures of some of them when they were born. I've got pictures with some of you that look like you still went behind the ear. I got to say to you, time's passing by pretty quickly. The enemy's always been breathing at us and no doubt doing what he could to be able to chide us and chant at us and to spook us and all of that. And the most important thing that you and I own tonight or have tonight is our husband or our wife, our spouse, and our children. I noticed something else is that you'll notice with is that there's Ahab. Now, man, what a sorry leader of Israel that he was. And look in verse number 4, that if you will. And the king of Israel, talking about Ahab, said, my lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. Now, what a sorry lot that is. You're going to give up all your money and silver and gold, that's one thing. But give him all your wives and children and things of that nature, why, you're too sorry to even talk about. In this lesson here, let me tell you what you need to learn from that. If you were to read this whole chapter and you look at it, you cannot bargain with the devil. You just can't do it. I guarantee you he's a cheater. He's a lying, cheating. You can't bargain with the devil. I remember, and I wrote a note down here. Old Brother Dawson, here's what he said, is that you can't satisfy the devil. He said, if you give him a ride, he wants to drive. And it ain't long, he will be driving. And I will say that when you begin to look into this, in about verse number 5, you'll find they were messengers that came. And let me tell you what he wants to do is, the devil wants to get in your head. He wants to contaminate your heart. He wants to finally ransack your house. No doubt about it, according to verse number 6 in the chapter that we're looking at here tonight. And yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time. They shall search thine house. In other words, they ain't going to be good enough for the king just want to give it up to you. Oh, they want to search your house, see what you got in there personally that you may be trying to hide and pull back. And as a result, he says, and that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put their hand to it and take it away. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. It's maybe come to that in the day and hour we're living in. But somebody's going to leave with a bloody nub. Sort of like that old boy one time, you know, that was like, it's like to swim out there in the ocean. And there was a shark, you know, and he's trained about it. And he said, what you do if a shark's coming at you, you stand still, you just stay still under the water. When it comes at you, is that you rear back and hit it right on the end of the nose as hard as you possibly can. And the next time you draw back, you'll be hitting with a bloody nub. And let me tell you, that's the way the devil wants to do. He wants to bite off any defense you've got and leave you helpless and hopeless and bleeding to death. Whether you're in the water, out of the water, on the land, or wherever you're at. I got to tell you something. In verse number 7, when you read about, it said the king of Israel called out and said, Mark, I pray you see how he seek mischief against me. And notice, and he said, for he sent unto me for my wives. Now, I don't know if he had an idea of giving him Jezebel. I'm going to give him Jezebel. And I guarantee you right now, he'll bring old Jezzy back in a few days, and he'll bring back everything he's ever took. But he said, I have offered to give my wives, my children, my silver, my gold. I denied him not, so forth and all. And as a result of that, he said, he's just trying to be able to find some kind of bone of contention with me. He's looking for an excuse, sort of like China's looking for an excuse with us. It's sort of like that Russia is looking for another excuse, sort of like Iran, sort of like Iraq, sort of like any of that other God-denying, God-defying, God-hating Muslim bunch. See, in this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you something, is that you can't take the easy way out. You know, everybody's already worried about and talking about right now is that these countries that may have or may not have a nuclear weapon. Why, yeah, if you've got one, that's too much. I'm going to tell you right now, that's devastating. They tell me they've got a bomb that makes the Hiroshima Nagasaki bomb drop over there, that makes it look like nothing. And do you realize, you know, that when they dropped the bomb upon Hiroshima and Nagasaki, do you realize, you know, that ended the war? But they couldn't do anything more than that. I'm talking about the flames and the fallout and the kill and the devastation across this country. Now, I'm going to tell you, your hope better not be on anybody or nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And you and I, one of these days, if it gets bad enough, I'll be crying out with the apostles and prophets and the people of old, even so come, Lord Jesus. I'm looking forward to him coming again. Now, I want you to notice that Behenadad was a man, he was a worshiper of false gods in verse 10. And you'll find out that as a result of that, is that here's some people that are about to prepare for the battle. And here's how an idolatrous bunch get ready in verse 13. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, the king of Israel, saying, thus said the Lord, hast thou seen all the great multitude? I mean, they got a big strength in numbers, they think. Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Now look in verse 12. Here's how they prepared for it. The Bible said, it came to pass that when Behenadad heard the message that he was drinking, and it's about noontime, by the way, that he was drinking, he and the kings and the pavilions, and he said unto his servants, set yourselves in array. And they set themselves in array against the city. Now, you know that we live in a world that when trouble comes, they want to hit the bottle. Man, here's a king and all them 32 kings getting drunk. That must have been a sight to behold. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out, according to about verse, I don't know, verse number 15, he's got 232 men, Israel does, and the Bible said these young men that were there, and then also they had 7,000 more. And as a result of that, they went out in verse 16, and they went out at noon. But Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings and 32 kings that helped him. That's a bunch of drunk kings, buddy. You hear me? That's what's wrong in the day we live in. All of our leadership, they like to drink, they like to carouse and all that business there. And let me tell you, I seen Fox News was bragging on Matthew McConaughey. And he is getting a big bottle of liquor and they is passing around and drinking and all that. I don't know about you, but I like a few things that Matthew's done. But I'm not nearly as fond of him as he is himself. I remember when that Uvalde shooting took place, he wanted to correct everybody in the world, you know, with that. I bet you I know something we can agree on. Now, if it's taking my gun and leaving me helpless, we can't agree on it. Am I sorry them kids got killed? Yes, I am. Am I sorry that these people that just got shot here recently? Yes, I am. But how in the name of God is taking a gun from a law-abiding citizen that's responsible, who's got all of their capacity mentally intact? How does taking my gun protect the rest of the world from idiots that are like that right there? It doesn't. It doesn't. And don't ever be let anybody sell you on that idea. I want to say to you that, if you will, that God has let him know, I can deliver you against impossible odds. And he could. As a result of it, there's going to be a battle that's going to ensue. And if you look in that same chapter that's here, is that you'll find that Ben-Hadad and all of his bunch, here's what they said. Is that they said, you know, we're going to be able to whip Israel if they come, because of the fact is that he's the God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys. And boy, when God heard that, or vice versa, whichever that it was up here, look. And verse 21, and the king of Israel, they went and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And then the prophet came there and said, strengthen yourselves, so forth and on. Verse 23, and the servants of the king of Syria said, and their gods are the gods of the hills. Look at that. Yeah, therefore, they're stronger than we, but let us fight against them in the plain. Well, God hears that, and I'm going to tell you something. I don't care if it's on the mountain, in the valley, God is still God. And make no mistake about it, over there in verse number 29 of this same chapter 20, is that the Bible said that they went out in verse 29, and they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And when the battle was joined together, the children of Israel slew the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. In verse number 30, the rest went to Apak, the city, and there was a wall that fell upon 27,000 of those men that were left. I want to tell you right now, is that you better not insult God in this life and get God on you about something that you've got going on. I don't understand all that God's doing. I just don't. I don't. But I realize to know this, that by faith he is God, and besides him, there is none else. In this lesson that you're looking at, you can find that you ought to do your part, and we ought to do our part to stand our ground, every man. And that's what, in verse number 20, that before he got down there and telling us about the slaughter, he said, strengthen yourself, so forth and on. In this lesson that we're looking at as we get ready to close, is that he's got them put on the run. And as a result of that, we've read in verse number 40, we'll read farther now, we'll read that again. The Bible says, as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. Somebody had delivered a captive unto this man and told him, I want you to watch it, I want you to keep him, and so forth and on, and if you lose him or let him get away from you, then you're going to end up paying. And he said, and as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And he said, and the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be, thyself hast decided it. And he hasted and took the ashes away from his face, and the king of Israel discerned him that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because that thou hast let go out of thine hand a man whom that I appointed to utter destruction. In other words, I'd already said I wanted Ben-Hadad to be completely destroyed. And he said, because that you've let him go, therefore thy life shall go for his life and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went out into his house heavy and displeased and came to Samaria. Now I will tell you, it reminds me of what's going on the day we live in. You'll find that Hamas is a bloodthirsty, ruthless, no conscience, God-defying, God-denying bunch. They attacked Israel Israel's vowed that we're going to stamp them off the face of the earth. They're not living any longer until we get rid and annihilate every one of them. But now our people, we're behind you 100%. We're going to help you with money. We're going to help you with troops. We're going to help you with an arsenal. But as it gets farther into it, well, maybe y'all consider maybe just break it off. Maybe they've learned their lesson. That's what happened to Ahab and some of the people of Israel. God said, I told you to utterly destroy them. And you didn't do it. As a result, you've judged yourself and your people out of your own mouth. I got to tell you, I don't know about you, but I sure would hate to stop short of the mark and make the wrong choice. You know God's listening to us because a lot of times we know what exactly is right. We already know what's right. You remember David? While his men were out in the battle and they were fighting the war, he was out there looking across there on the rooftops, and a beautiful woman by the name of Bathsheba was taking a bath. His lust began to arise in him, and he couldn't get her off his mind. Now, you realize, though, that you sometime may look out across the country or something like that, and a thought of lustfulness hits your mind. But that wasn't what happened to David. He went back and he got to think, I got to have her. Man, I would to God, I'm going to have her brought up here to me. And certainly he did. And as a result of that, he's thinking that everything's going to be fine, that nobody's going to be the wiser, even though she finally becomes pregnant with David's child. And as a result, he tries to cover it up by murder. I want you to put her husband Uriah the Hittite in the hottest part of the battle. And I want to tell you something. He would have gotten by with it too, but somebody else was listening and looking, and he sent a messenger to him. And he said, I'm going to tell you this parable, David. There was a man one time that had one little ewe lamb. And there was another man that had many to choose from. But this one man took that one man, one poor little ewe lamb for himself. So forth. And boy, the more he talked about it, the more anger David got. And he said, the man that done this thing should surely die. And Nathan the prophet said, thou art that man. Thou art that man. I will say that when you begin to look into the Bible, make no mistake about it, God is looking at us. He's listening to us. And you better be careful about trying to loophole or sidestep or find another route around. I don't care. I don't really care what you do except for the fact it's not going to be good for you if you stand contrary to the word of the Lord. See? It's good to be saved and to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. I told you a little earlier about some of that kissing stuff. And you know, sometimes you go to your spouse goes to kiss you. Now, this has never happened to me. It's probably, it may have never happened to you, but I imagine that somebody will have. And she says something like, oh, man, your breath stinks. She's like, well, I was just going to try to kiss you. Well, can't you get up and brush your teeth and gargle a little bit first? No, if she's that hard, all right, well, you wouldn't want to kiss bad enough then. Go ahead and take your old nasty breath that would knock a buzzard off of a manure wagon and keep it and sleep with that and let them cobwebs grow in your mouth all night. Cotton mouth. And I use that as a man part because, you know, hey, sometimes it can be a sinus infection. Sometimes just because you've got sleep all night and you wake up and it smells like somebody has died in your mouth and started rotting it. You ever wake up like that? Huh? You wake up, you boy sitting there grinning like a jackass eating briars all in the front row. Does y'all's breath kissing fresh every time you wake up? Huh? You know when you're practicing kissing your arm and like, you know? Huh? I just want to say all that to be able to say this. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as we get ready to dismiss and go to the Lord in prayer. All right then, Brother Dillon, dismiss us.